Good evening, everyone. It is your girl, Nye. Welcome back to Faces of Success Radio 101 FM. Tonight, we have a legend in the building. Yes, the one and only Lenny Williams will be in the building tonight. Yes, we have some fantastic, some of his greatest hits, of course. The number one mega hit that everyone knows, Cause I Love You, as well as Choosing You, and many more. As well as Mr. Lenny actually has some more music being released soon, and it's actually by the name of Fine. We'll be talking about his rises and falls in his career, his latest music, and what's going on in Mr. Lenny Williams' life coming up next. Make sure you dial that hotline 323-642-1569, and we're actually going to play one of his songs from earlier in his days when he first got signed to ABC Records. This is Shudu Fufuo. Stay tuned as we cue him up in the interview. Intro. Born in Little Rock, Arkansas, he learned to play the trumpet in elementary school, which fueled his interest in music. Lenny's skills as a vocalist were nurtured singing in gospel choirs and groups around the Bay Area, working alongside up-and-coming artists like Sly Stone, Andre Crouch, Billy Preston, and members of the Hawkins family, Edwin Walter, and Tremaine. After winning several local talent contests, Williams signed his first record deal with Fantasy Records, cut two singles singles for the label, including Lisa's Gone, a classic among British soul music lovers, and Feeling Blue, written by John Fogerty of the Creedence Clearwater Revival. Lenny then spent time with Atlantic Records and put his solo career on hold in 1972 when joining Tower of Power, an amazing group, including songs such as So Very Hard to Go and Don't Change Horses. And during his 2 years with the group, Lenny participated in three milestone albums, Tower of Power, Back to Oakland, and Urban Renewal, while touring nonstop throughout the States, Europe, and Asia. At the end of 1975, Lenny returned to his solo projects. Initially signing with Motown in 72, he later moved to ABC Records in 1977. And over the next 4 years, Lenny scored 10 chart-topping hits, including one of the ones we just played, Choosing You, You Got Me Running, Love Hurt Me, Love Healed Me, and Midnight Girl. Four albums from 77 to 80s. Choosing You was his first gold LP, and Sparks of Love, Love Current, and Let's Do It Today. These albums established a solid following for Lenny, and the impact of his music is still felt throughout the world with one of his top hits as well, 'Cause I Love You. Please welcome the legendary Lenny Williams. Hello, hello.
Hey, what's going on, Nye? How you doing there?
I am fantastic. Thank you so much for being in the studio. It's an honor, really.
It's my pleasure, definitely my pleasure, yes.
So we gave a little bit of info about you, but please introduce yourself and tell us who Mr. Lenny Williams really is.
Well, I was born in Little Rock, Arkansas, to my mom and dad, and they named me Leonard Charles Williams, and around my house they call me Charles because my dad's name is Leonard. And then somewhere, you know, when I started singing and decided that I was going to do it professionally, I said, well, Leonard, you know, worked for Leonard Bernstein, you know, but I said it might not work for me in the R&B circle, so I started calling myself Lenny, and, you know, so that's basically who I am. You know, I'm a husband, father, and a singer, yeah, and songwriter, yeah.
And that's awesome. So let's start from the skyrocketing point of your career when you were first signed to your first record deal with Fantasy Records, and you cut two singles, Lisa's Gone and Feeling Blue. So take us back to that day. What was it like having your first record deal?
It was awesome. I was going to a talent show. I would go every Thursday night in Oakland, California, and you know, I'd always win. And so one night, a gentleman was there and asked me if I'd like to make a record. And he took me over to Fantasy Records, happened to be in San Francisco at that time. And I met John Fogerty, who eventually became famous. You know, wrote songs like Proud Mary and different songs like that, Born on the Bayou, so I met him and, you know, just started, you know, trying to, you know, make records. So I did my first record called Lisa's Gone. Actually, my son and I were laughing about it the other day because I sang it really high, and I was supposed to sing it an octave lower, but we flew down to Los Angeles. It was my first flight, and I was in the studio. And they had left the mic open, and I could see them in the control room, and I could hear them. They were laughing. They were like, yeah, Lenny doesn't know it. We're going to fly home by himself because we have to stay down here tonight. And so I guess I just had so much anxiety about flying back home by myself actually sang the song a whole octave higher. And I guess they liked it because they didn't say, hey, you know, take it down a little bit, you know. So that was a unique experience that I had. And then John Fogerty wrote Feeling Blue for me, and that was another, you know, another milestone, you know, because he became such a famous, you know, songwriter, and the group Creedence Clearwater, you know, became so famous. And so, you know, it's just kind of an honor to have said that I actually did one of John's songs in his early writing career.
Most definitely. And I'm sure it was a culture shock, though, going from Arkansas to Oakland. I'm sure it was a different feel for you.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, Southernfield in Arkansas and Oakland is, you know, more It's close to San Francisco, maybe about 10 miles from San Francisco, 10, 11 miles from San Francisco. So it's got a great, big city cosmopolitan type feel, so much more integrated and diverse, so it was a big change, yeah.
Mm-hmm, most definitely. And, of course, in 72, you joined a Tower of Power, and you had multiple songs, some of our favorites, Very Hard to Go and Don't Change Horses. What was that like being with Tower of Power and then transitioning to your amazing career as a solo artist?
Well, Tower of Power was real interesting. It was a band that was predominantly white. They had two African-Americans in the band, Chester Thompson, the keyboard player, and myself. We both came in right around the same time. I think Chester may have started about a month or two before me. But we both came in on the big album of What's So Very Hard to Go and What Is Hip on there. And so it was an interesting experience, being in a integrated band like that, and a band that had a lot of horns. But, I was familiar with horns because I played trumpet, in my younger days when I was in elementary school and junior high. And so, was exciting to me, to kind of, get around all those horns, trumpets and saxophones and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a lot of success. We did the song Don't Change Horses, which I had the pleasure of writing with Johnny Guitar Watson. Was kind of hanging out down in L.A. and met him. And I had been working at Ford Motor Company, and it was kind of a boring job working on the assembly line. And so I sometimes would get kind of hypnotized by the assembly line and try to write something, to the beat of the assembly line. And I remember I was reading something about Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and he was running for president. I think it was maybe like his second or third term. And he was, he had his campaign slogan was "Don't change horses in the middle of the stream," and I was thinking, wow, that could be a title for a love song, And so I mentioned that to Johnny, and then we wrote that song, and then recorded it for Tower Power. So that was real exciting, to work with legendary artists like Johnny in terms of songwriting, and then to be able to have a vehicle that I could just take it to, which was the band, and record it and put it out, and it became a hit.
I'm sure. And what are some interesting experiences or things you've learned from being in a major label? Because it has definitely changed over the years as far as the team and the intent and the goals, as far as being goal-driven for sales versus actually having a fan base. What are some major things that you've learned in being in a major label?
Well, I mean, I think I appreciated major label when I had my first hit, just to see how they can put it all together and make it happen. And then after a while, you kind of start to resent them a little bit because you realize how they hold money back and, they kind of dole it out to you. And, they have so many different schemes on how, they can, retain the money. And so you start feeling a different kind of way about them. And then, just matriculating through my career and then having my own record label now, I kind of have a deeper appreciation, greater appreciation for record companies because I see all of the things that they have to do. I mean, like today I got a phone call that somebody wanted to play my record. I said, well, okay, I'll just email it to them or put it on Dropbox or WeTransfer. Oh, no. All they want is a CD. I'm like, oh, okay. So then it was just amazing that I had a CD of it. And then I had to, get in my car, drive to the post office and drop it in. So basically I'm the guy that works in the warehouse, also I'm the CEO, and I'm also the salesman, so,
right.
We were trying to put a Christmas song up on the dashboard at the distributor. For the last couple of days, and just the whole mechanics of it is just so you have to be savvy with the internet and things like that, and with computers, and so my wife helps me out with that, And then we got stumped, and then tried to call a friend of mine that does all the graphics for
right.
For I'm trying to think what magazine is that down there in Atlanta. He does all the graphics for them. I'll think of it just shortly. And Upscale, right? He does all the stuff for Upscale. And so I had to call him and say, hey, I got to put this artwork up, man. Can you help me? And so then he had to help me. We finally got it up. You know, so if I was with a major label, it's like all I got to do is go in the studio and sing and deliver them the product, and somebody else takes care of all of
right.
that. So that definitely helped me to appreciate what record labels do. I mean, it's a team, and everybody has they have their own special area of expertise, and they carry it out. And so I basically have to know how to do everything, or either have somebody at my disposal who knows how to do everything. And so it just makes you like appreciate when you get older. You really appreciate your mom and dad. It's like, oh, you just come in, turn the lights on, and go to the refrigerator and grab something to eat. Use the bathroom, get the toilet paper. Then you get grown. It's like, oh Lord, it's like you got to pay for all this stuff. Pay the rent and everything. Put gas in the car. So it's it's just kind of interesting to see how my appreciation for record companies has grown.
Yes, most definitely. You definitely feel how much hard work it goes in being independent versus being with a major label. And, of course, it's still
mm-hmm.
all hard work, but when you are the main man to go through and you're selecting covers and you're choosing artists and producers and being an A&R and who's going to be it's a lot of moving parts to having your own company. And a lot of people don't
exactly.
recognize that
yeah.
until they get in the middle of it. And speaking of hard work, let's talk about one of the number one songs in your repertoire that has stuck with millions of people for years, "'Cause I Love You." Now, how did
mm-hmm.
"'Cause I Love You" come to pass?
Well, it was interesting. I had bought a house, and there was a gentleman there. He was a carpenter, and I used to have him come over and do work for me all the time. And he kept telling me about his son. So, and I was like, I'm getting tired of him telling me about his son. And so finally I said, okay, I want to meet your son. So his son came over, and it was true. His son was very talented songwriter, talented dancer and everything like that. And so we started writing songs and working together. And he was a lot younger than me. And he said, well, I got to be inspired to write. You know what I mean? I got to have inspiration. And I was like, well, like Motown, people come to work, everybody else, and they just get in there and start writing. That's your job to write. And I kind of like got him to buy into that theory. And so he came over to the house, and one day it's like, okay, this is time to write. And I was like, I don't feel like it, man. I'm just my heart's not in it. He's like, well, why? I said, because me and my girl got into it last night. And he said, let's write about that. And so we sat down to piano and started writing about it. And my friend Michael Bennett, may he rest in peace, we wrote that song. And it's just been a godsend, been a blessing, I think we wrote it in 1974. And we recorded it in, I think, first in 75 or 76, and we didn't have the talking in it or anything like that. And it was a little faster, and then I went on the road and singing it and, kind of refining it a little bit. Like the first time you make a certain dish, first time you might make spaghetti,
right.
It's like, okay, and then, come back, 2 years later, it's like, oh, her spaghetti, my spaghetti is off the hook. You know what I mean? It tastes a lot better than it tasted 2 years ago. And so same thing with that. It just kind of grew into this thing where you break it down, put the talking in it, slow it down. And so, and I'm just glad to, to be a part of it. Glad to, have been a songwriter on it, to have been, publisher and be the person who sang it. Yeah.
Most definitely. And, of course, before we get into the song, because we're going to play it, as well as get into your new song, Fine, did you expect to have as much success as you have had over the years?
Well, I think I that was my hope. You know what I mean? It was my hope.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really say that I knew for a fact that it was going to happen because, you know, I've been in the business for a while and, you know, had made, you know, records at Fantasy Records that didn't happen, went to Atlantic Records that didn't happen. And so, you know, so, I mean, I, you know, I had my, you know, I don't know if I had my doubts, but I, you know, I knew it wasn't going to be, you know, just like, you know, easy journey. It wasn't going to be like I was going to be 17 and be on, you know, America's Got Talent or something
right.
like that. You know what I mean? And bam, you know, like, oh, he's the greatest thing, you know, Puffy out there talking about, come on, let's make this record or nothing like that, you know. You know, so
right.
I had to pay some dues. Yeah, so, you know, I would say that it was my hope and desire that, you know, that I would be successful. And so I think I had faith that it was going to happen because I quit my job, you know. And,
oh, wow.
You know, yeah, so, I mean, sometimes I say, well, you quit your job because you was lazy. I don't know. It's like, but I quit my job and, you know, and so I think that when a person makes that kind of sacrifice, I mean, I wouldn't advise anybody else to do that. I talk to young people all the time. It's like, oh, I'm finna quit my job, man. I said, no. Think about that a little bit. You know, you can hold your job and still try to make it, you know, and you got to be, you know, you got to really know when it's time to, you know, quit your job or, you know, whatever, or move, you know, from one city to another and everything like that. Yeah. So, I think that I kind of knew it, but I really hoped for it. That's for sure. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Lenny. So everyone, we're going to take a break and get into some of our mothers, fathers, grandmothers have played this song in the house, at cookouts, you name it, you've heard it somewhere. Right now we're getting ready to play Cause I Love You by the legendary Lenny Williams. Stay tuned. Dial that 9-323-642-1569 and make sure you chime in as we get to know more about Mr. Williams and get into his new song, Fine. Stay tuned.
No matter what you do, and I hope you understand me. Every word I say is true, 'cause I love you, baby. I'm thinking of you, trying to be more of a man for you. But we gonna see it through, 'cause I love you. Oh, 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 oh. Some men need lots of women. The passion, the feel, but I
And we are back. That was just a little taste. That was a little taste of Cause I Love You by the legendary Lenny Williams. So, Lenny, you've traveled all around the world, all across the globe, for millions of people. What would you say is your favorite place to perform, either in or out of the country?
Ooh, yeah, that's kind of tough there. But I know they like me in the Carolinas, I'll tell you that. Ooh, yeah, I'll be in the Carolinas all the time. Yeah, I need to buy me a house down there. So, I mean, North, South Carolina, yeah. But, I don't know my favorite place. I was just in Spain, and it was fun over there. And I was over in France, it was fun. But, I really love, like the South. You know, the South is real nice. You know, then I get back east. I don't know, it's kind of hard for me to say. You know, I mean, I can't really pick my favorite place. I just, just being in front of an audience is good for me, so I guess I have to go with that. Just anywhere I am, if the people are excited about it and receptive, I love it. Yeah.
Most definitely. And how do you prepare for a show? Like, say you've got a show coming up in a week, and you've had your rehearsals. But what is your regular ritual for getting ready for a show?
Well, I try to watch how much I talk, and I do my voice exercises, and try to drink a lot of water. Maybe a couple of days before the show, try not to eat, a lot of dairy products, and try not to, talk too much and get my rest and kind of go over the songs in my head, my notes and my little step, my little swing or whatever I want to do, just kind of see it and then get ready, now ladies and gentlemen, Lenny Williams, and I'm ready to go. Yeah. But you definitely, have to kind of, make sure I don't eat like chocolate or anything like that, stuff that has caffeine, drinking, sodas that have caffeine, things of that nature. Trying to watch what you eat, that you don't want to make sure you don't get any acid reflux, and all that. So no tomatoes. Yeah. So it's stuff like that, taking care of your voice. You don't want anything to pop up that might cause you a problem.
Definitely. And what would you say is one of your most memorable fan experiences when performing?
Oh, one of my most memorable fan experiences. Just looking out, you're singing Cause I Love You or something, and then you see somebody crying, and it's like, wow, that song means so much to them, or maybe it brings back a memory, like a tears of joy or whatever, when you think about it, wow, that your music can affect somebody in that way, something that's kind of always stuck with me, to see somebody just emotionally involved in the song. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. So moving forward, you have great success. You're continuing to tour, and you have new music out right now. So let's get into that.
Yes. Yeah. I was at home one day and somebody called me and it's like, hey, there's a guy named Corey the Poet. And I think it would be really nice if you met him and if you did a record with him. And so I met Corey the Poet over the phone and he invited me to come to the studio and see the project he was working on. So I went over and so I met his producer, which was Levi Caesar, who was the guitar player who played with Prince in the New Power Generation band. So I had heard about him a lot, but I knew his family, but I had never met him, right? And so, because he was on the road with Prince, and then he was out with Sheila E. and whatever. So, I never got a chance to meet him, but I knew he was from the same town. And he's quite younger than I am. And so I got a chance to meet him, and we did the record with Corey, and turned out really great. And so I said, well, maybe we should get together and do some work. You know, me and you, I like what you did. And he's like, yeah, okay. And so then he invited me to come over to the studio, so I went over, and he's like, look, can I interview you? I was like, yeah, okay, yeah. So we just talked. He turned his microphone on and asked me a bunch of questions, you know, and did his imitation, right? Yeah, and you know, interviewing me, and so then a couple of days later, he called me and said, hey, I got something that I think that we could do, and he kind of used the interview and we, you know, just went there and just started working on the song Find and put it out, and everybody seems to like it, and we're just really excited about it. Yeah.
And
so now we're working on So now we're working on new music. You know, we're working on other songs. We're working on a whole CD.
There is an album on the way. When will that be?
Oh,
released?
Yeah, right. Well, I thought that maybe it'd be the end of the year, but we're thinking maybe like the first of the year, you know, mid-January, end of January, something like that, you know.
Awesome, awesome. And I'm sure all of the listeners and your supporters will be excited for that release. And as we get Fine queued up, would you do us the honors as to introducing your new song?
Hey, right here on the radio with my girl Nye, Lenny Williams, right here with my brand new song, Fine.
You heard it right here on Faces of Success Radio 101 FM. The legendary Letty Williams, his new single, Fine. Dial that number and stay tuned and check out the song.
It's a brand new day, sunlight beaming through the window shade, a cup of coffee with a morning kiss, enjoy myself today, on the top of my list, ain't nothing on TV, I don't need the blues, so I grab the keys, time to take a cruise. Windows down as I roll in the jet. Not bad for a black boy who thought he never had.
I'm doing fine. If anybody asks you,
I'm okay.
If anybody checking,
don't you worry about me.
Don't worry about me.
'Cause
switch,
and what do you know? They're playing my music on the radio. There's no need for my head down. I ain't got no regrets. I sung on many stages, and I gave it my best. I got a good woman who loved me through the years, 35 and counting. And we're still here. Don't worry about me.
Better worry about you.
It's not how you start, it's how you see it through. I'm doing fine.
If anybody asks you,
I'm okay.
If anybody checks in,
I try to live right,
save a little cash,
and I pray. Every day and night, I just step for the love. the music like a soul train line. If anybody asks you, you can tell them that I'm doing fine.
That was fine, and I loved it, loved it, loved it. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Yeah.
But you mentioned in your song that you've been married for quite some time now.
Yeah, 35 years. We've been together about 42. Yeah,
Ooh, that's a long time.
Yeah,
and,
it is a long time.
And how does your wife feel about your career?
I was, you know, she's been, very supportive, you know, and, throughout the whole ordeal, she's been, she's been a real trooper. Yeah. So, yeah, I say, well, I'm getting ready to go. And she said, okay, I'll be here when you get back. Yeah. So she, every time I come back, she ain't changed the locks on me yet. Yeah. So it's all good. Yeah. Yeah. Well, she did change the locks on me one time though. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I was being bad. Yeah. Yeah. That was a long time ago though. Yeah. Right. Yeah,
okay.
Right. But I went to church and I got right. Yes.
And what about your family? Is anyone in your family musically inclined as well?
Yeah, I have two sons that sing, one of them's a minister and the other one, he sings mostly gospel, but he kind of does both. They both sing, sometimes we sing together. Yeah.
Do you ever bring them on stage with you?
Occasionally, I had a show not too long ago. One of my sons came up and gave me the mic, took me a little break, let him do his thing.
Oh, that's awesome, 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 awesome. So we've got the single out. You're doing a lot of shows. We're working on a project coming out around the first of the year. What's up next for you, Miss Eleni?
Just continue to do what I do, put the project out, work that. And, I've got some offers to go overseas. They do that. I was talking to Jerome Benton not too long ago, from The Time. And he's got a play. And so he wants me to be in that. So I may, be part of that stage play. Just trying to enjoy life, and continue to, hone my craft and try new things, maybe start practicing my trumpet again. And who knows, maybe the next album I do after this, it might be me just playing my trumpet, trying to be Miles Davis Jr. Who knows? Just seeing what's up, enjoying the journey.
Most definitely. And I have to ask, what is life like when you're not on the road, when you're not surrounded by microphones and instruments and music? What is life like at home when you're not on the road?
I'm hiding from my wife, keep her from telling me, go do this, do that, hang this up, move that. Just like a regular person, being around the house, kids call and say they're coming over or whatever, and come over, and maybe grandkids come over, and grandson's gonna be 16, and then Manny's got a permit to go riding and let him drive the car, or go to the gym.
Awesome.
And shoot a little basketball or whatever, just having fun,
And what's some advice you would give to a young artist on the rise, or someone who is aspiring to be a writer? What's a little bit of advice that you would give to someone who's ready to break into the industry and spread their wings?
Well, I would just say, try to hone your craft to be as good as you can be. If it's being a radio personality like yourself, or being an engineer, or songwriter, singer, dancer, whatever. Just try to be as good as you can be, hone your craft, and then I would say, you know, try to have a, you know, be nice to people, because you could, you know, say a person could come, you know, to the television station or the radio station, and you know, there's somebody at the front desk, and you know, you just say, oh, you know, they're a receptionist or whatever, and you know, you kind of, you know, be a little snotty with them, or don't get a chance to, you know, have a conversation and be social with them. You come back, you know, 3 years later, and they could be, you know, the program director, you know, so it's always kind of nice.
Very
to,
true.
You know, right, to, you know, be nice to people. And then, I would say, you know, I always tell people, you know, stay away from, you know, substance abuse, because, you know, that's, can definitely, you know, take you down, you know. And mm-hmm. You know, and don't leave your money in the dressing room. Yes.
Oh wow! Yeah, has that happened to you in regards to leaving something in the dressing room and it's coming up missing?
Yeah.
Oh man.
I learned early. Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, my goodness, I wouldn't want anything to happen. Wow. Well, Mr. Lenny, how can we keep up with you and all your endeavors? What's your social media sites and your official website?
Well, my official website is LennyWilliams.com. Also, on my Facebook at LennyWilliams000. I'm on Twitter, Lenny Williams, Instagram, you know, all of that, you know. So, you know, and, you know, we on it every day, you know, and we answer ourselves. And so, you know, reach out and we'll make it happen. We can have a conversation.
Awesome. And any shout-outs you want to give live on the air, Mr. Lenny?
Yeah, I'd just like to say to all of your listeners that I appreciate them for, you know, over the years of, you know, coming to the concerts, buying the music, you know, whether it's CDs or downloading it, requesting, you know, my music on the radio, and I don't take it for granted, and I'm definitely humbled by it.
Oh man, thank you so much, Mr. Lenny Williams, for being in the studio. We love you, we support you, and when you get that new music out, when that album is finished, make sure you let us know so we can blast
it
out.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that first one going straight to 9, okay? All right.
Thank you so much, Mr. Lenny. Thank you for being in the studio.
I appreciate you. Yes, ma'am.
Everyone, the legendary, legendary Lenny Williams. Thank you so much for being in the studio. Thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you dial that hotline 323-642-1569. And as we get Mr. Lenny out of the studio, transitioning, we're going to play another one of his songs, Choosing You. You're tuned in live to Faces of Success Radio 101 FM.